This is Single Threaded. I'm Jen Creighton. This season has been about emotions in software engineering, and we've been looking at it from a bunch of different angles. But today we're actually going to get pretty direct with it. We're talking about crying at work. Now, if we're going to be talking about crying, there's only one person that could possibly be my guest, and that is Carolyn Stronsky. Carolyn is a software engineer and self-described eternal crybaby. She's really open with the fact that she cries often. She's a crier. Some of us are. And it can be really difficult for us in the workplace because there's a stigma attached to having that normal physical response. But there doesn't need to be. Crying is a normal part of being a human. So why do we make it so weird at work? That's what we're talking about today. I remember pretty early on into meeting you that your Twitter bio said something like, a junior engineer trying to find the best places to cry in the office. And I loved that because I also was like, I know that feeling of trying to find a place to cry in an office.
Yes, and it was particularly, I remember that so vividly, because it was particularly an open office. Like, I had just started at a company, and it was my first one with, like, these big open spaces where all the engineers sit together, and I was just like, what am I supposed to do? Like, where am I supposed to go?
Yeah, I worked in a lot of open offices, and I also worked in a lot of places where the conference rooms were glass.
Yes.
Oh, what a bad idea for when people have, like, intense emotions. Like, oh, not good. No.
Or where do you have one-on-ones? I mean, even that, like, that same office had these tiny little, like, phone booths that sort of, they had, like, one window of glass, but not the whole thing. So you could kind of do it there if you, like,
angled,
stood in the corner.
Yeah. Just angled yourself correctly. You could cry.
And it was, like, one of those where it was, like, the balance between trying to figure out, like, okay, where can I stand so that people walking by won't see me sobbing, but also where can I stand so that no one will try to, like, come in?
Yes.
You know, so that it's clear that it's occupied. Balance.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
I've had someone walk in on me crying in an office, and I was like, oh, I'm just doing work. Nope, that's not what happened. So I think you're also one of the only people I know that's really open about this, because most people we don't talk about, like, crying in the workplace, crying in the office, trying to find a place. And you're very open about it.
I try to be. I mean, for me, it's a very real reality of my workday. I'm kind of one of those people who cries at pretty much any sort of intense emotion. It's like my first physical reaction. So I kind of reached a point in my career where I was like, I'm just going to need to embrace this, especially becoming an engineer. I was like, oh, like, I'm going to feel frustrated pretty frequently.
Yeah.
So tears are going to happen. So kind of just accepting that as my reality and then being like, okay, how can I use this in a way, like, not in a manipulative sort of way, but in a way of being like, how can I understand my, like, emotional reactions? How can I understand how other people, like, feed off of that in a workplace environment? And even, like, a little bit about the science, but, you know, I stay service level on that.
Well, we might talk about that at some point. But I also remember that pre-COVID, you were going to give a conference talk on this subject. And I believe it never ended up happening, right?
No, it didn't. It unfortunately got canceled due to COVID. So,
well, this is the second chance then. This is where we're going to go through. Because I remember you were getting a lot of information from people. You sent out, like, a form that people could fill out, with a lot of questions. And I'm so curious what you found out from that. What was maybe the most surprising thing of the responses that you got?
Ooh, so I think for me, the most surprising part, and I mean in the way of, like, I guess I could have expected it, but it was interesting to hear people's reactions to it, is how I asked people about the emotions that they felt when they were about to cry. Like, what kind of prompted the crying? And, you know, those can range a whole wide range of, like, yeah, I'm really happy, I'm doing work that's really meaningful, and it really touched me when, like, while I was doing it, versus, you know, I'm in a really uncomfortable situation, I'm in a really, like, big conflict and I'm feeling really frustrated and alone and sad. So I think and then kind of seeing what people, how people felt. So like a lot of the common answers that I got for why people cry at work was because people feel frustrated, sad, angry, or this feeling of worthlessness came up a lot. And I think for me, it was the fact that people articulated that. You know, that wasn't one of the kind of boilerplate answers that I had that people could choose from. People purposely put in like feeling worthless and that feeling behind it. And then also the idea of like how people felt afterwards. And a lot of people, so when I tend to cry, I feel kind of relieved afterwards. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people feel really like lonely and ashamed or embarrassed. And yeah, so it was kind of interesting to see that like dichotomy of like how you feel before or during and then kind of what results after.
Yeah, and you touch on something that was really, when people talk about crying, I think they forget that people cry for all sorts of reasons and not just being sad. Because automatically, like, we pair crying with being sad. But usually, like, I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm too angry, which is the worst one, I think. I hate crying when I'm angry. I cry when I'm just really, really stressed out sometimes and my body just needs, like, the release of it. So, yeah, people might be like, oh, we're going to talk about crying. This is going to be a really sad conversation. But actually, I've had some very good happy cries, even at work.
There's a lot of things that support that. I mean, in theory, like emotional tears are when we're experiencing this kind of loss of control of our emotions, whether positive or negative. So it's the idea that like our bodies are experiencing this, like, you know, because our mind and our bodies are connected. And so like when we're experiencing these extreme emotions, like, your body can like release tears as a response to stabilize your mood. So it comes with things like increased heart rate. It comes with slower breath. It comes with these, like, the idea is to kind of calm your body and make sure that, you know, you are, I don't know, like regulating your system and doing that. And I think that, like, thinking about it that way always helps me because it's like, okay, like this is my body's like reaction to making sure that I'm okay, like, and making sure it's feeling like that. But it's interesting that, yeah, you brought up like that people assume that you're sad, or another one is like people assume you're really overwhelmed or that you're like incompetent.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes the overwhelming thing is the case, but I mean, there's just so many reasons beyond that. And no one asks why.
Well, yeah, people are uncomfortable with people crying, especially in a work setting. People are extremely uncomfortable with people crying in a work setting. I feel like that was always the case no matter where I worked, because I worked outside of tech first and then I got into tech. But then in tech, I feel like it got worse. And that like loss of control that you're talking about, I feel like engineers hate that. We're so used to being like, I tell the computer what to do and the computer does the thing back. That feeling like an overwhelming like emotional sense and like crying would be like the ultimate like insult, like the thing they can't control.
We're also not taught how to necessarily like directly how to deal with this in a workplace, you know, especially when I think about like when you're onboarded onto a job or you're, you know, learning how to program or things like that, you learn a lot more about, yeah, the actual tooling and, you know, how to set up your dev environment, how to navigate the code base, how to do that. But that kind of interpersonal part, people, I don't know if it's people already assume that you should have that. I don't know where you would acquire this knowledge or if it's just something that like, yeah, we just expect people to have. And I don't know. It's hard to know because it's like, it's hard to know how to respond, especially if you're not a crier yourself. It can be really hard to figure out what do people need in that kind of situation? How do I deal with different emotional responses? I feel the same way when someone's really angry, like when they kind of, you know, blow up or they knock something over or whatever. I am so not like that. So I become very like, you know, upset and kind of frozen. Like, I don't really know what to do. So,
and yet in a workplace environment, like that's the more acceptable reaction to something is anger. I've worked at startups where we had like the hothead engineer who always like played devil's advocate, but in that way of like wanting to push the conversation towards conflict. And I was always incredibly uncomfortable around them, but people just accepted it as if that was normal. Meanwhile, if I had cried during a meeting out of like frustration, that would have been like, oh, Jen is a weak, weak little person. We're sorry for her. It's weird.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, there's a lot of ties to, you know, how gender plays a role in this as well, because there's also a bunch of studies that show that, like, when men cry at work, it is more, like, positively regarded than when women do, because it's like, ah, they're being vulnerable, they're showing their emotions, like, you know, it's so unexpected, and it's feelings.
That makes me, like, rage. I'm, like, the meme of the, like, flames on the side of my face. When I hear that, it just is so upsetting. And it's true that one of the particular, like, gendered aspects of this is that there's obviously fewer women and minority genders in tech and more men, and men don't cry as much, either because they're socialized not to, or, well, is there any other reason? I think it's mostly socialization.
Oh, socialization is a big factor because, yeah, men are more typically, especially, you know, we're both from the U.S., like, are more typically, you know, encouraged to express anger, as we mentioned earlier, blowing up, being aggressive, versus, like, through tears, which, like, and women aren't encouraged to react like that. An angry woman is, like, you know, a paramount thing. So we tend to, like, bind it in until it, you know, your body, like, can't hold that in anymore. But there's also, biologically speaking, like, there are other reasons why women might cry more, in the sense of, like, you know, testosterone in men can, like, inhibit crying. Mm-hmm. And then also women have more of this, like, hormone called prolactin, which, yeah, so it's seen in higher level in women, and that can promote that emotional, those emotional tears. So there is that kind of factor to it. But I think it's just kind of a combination of that. And yeah, again, we're working in an industry that, yeah, it's not the norm. It's not something that's really talked about. There's also a huge stigma about crying at work. So I think it's a multitude of factors that contribute to it ultimately being seen as a usually more of a negative.
Yeah, I do think it's seen mostly as a negative. And again, like, anger, fine. Crying, less fine. Makes people uncomfortable. And I really hate that. I wish that I could express myself how I wanted to express myself, or, like, not even how I wanted to. It is literally my body's biological just reaction that I can't really, like you said, it's an uncontrollable, like, emotional response. And so that's when you just, like, you get up from your desk and you just run to the bathroom and you just hide in the stall, and then you have to do silent crying.
Yes.
In the stall.
Been there. Definitely. And I mean, there are, like, you know, there's been surveys done where people say, like, oh, there's some positives to crying at work. Like, you know, it can help people feel more connected to you. It can help you, like, people could be more willing to help you if they see that you're, like, emotional about something. But it's such, like, yes, those can be responses. And I have experienced that, which is really nice. But, like, there's also, I mean, the flip side of, like, and the more often flip side, which is, yeah, people think you're incompetent. People think you're overwhelmed. People think you're sensitive. People think all these things. So it's hard to balance, like, when is it worth it? Like, when is it worth that potential response?
Yeah. And that's really unfair, too, if you're crying for, like, happiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of my memories of happy crying at work was I got a promotion. It was my only promotion in this field. I only had the one time. And I was in a meeting, but I was on Zoom at the time, and this was pre-COVID. I just happened to be working from home that day. And my boss emailed me saying, congratulations, it went through during the meeting. And I started to tear up because I had never been promoted. I was so happy that I was getting my senior title finally, and I turned off the Zoom camera so no one would see me cry. I wish I could have, like, expressed to people, like, how much that had meant to me to get that promotion, that was a big, big deal in my life. And I wish I could have expressed that properly instead of what I had to do, which was, like, hide because it was going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's interesting, the idea that, like, you know, and especially in these times when we're all kind of forced to work remotely, that, like, you are able when you're remote to just turn off your camera, or, you know, hold it as, like, hard as you can until after the call. Like, there are so many options for curating and, like, filtering your emotions through the computer screen that you just don't have if you're in person. Like, I could imagine in that situation, it would have been so hard to be there, hear that. And I always get like that also when I leave jobs, like when people are, because then of course everyone brings out all these compliments. They're like, wow, you were such a joy to work with. Da, da, da. And I just, like, sob. But it's like when I'm, you know, in the safety of my own home, I can do that just, you know, while I read Slack messages on my own time, rather than when I'm, yeah, sitting in the middle of like 50 people in this open office space, like just like reading my Slack and sobbing. I have done that.
But I really appreciate working from home now in this way, especially during this time, because I'm crying for things that I wouldn't normally cry about. Like, my emotions are like a bit heightened. There's a lot of empathetic crying when you see what's happening across the world and how sick people have gotten and losing their lives. And then there were a lot of layoffs, and I had friends get laid off, and I would emotionally cry about that. And it is so nice to be able to close your laptop and go to your bed for a minute, have a good cry, and then go back to whatever you are doing, or deciding to take the day off, depending on, you know, what it's like.
I mean, that's like, that also brings up the interesting point of, yeah, exactly, like the, like what crying can do for people. But yeah, it's really interesting, like what crying can do for you if you let yourself have that moment. And I think working from home, you're able to, exactly what you said, like have that moment. You can also have things around you that are comforting for that situation. So I'm thinking, I'm sitting here on my couch. I have a fuzzy blanket that I wrap myself in if I'm feeling upset. Or maybe I take a long shower. Maybe I do something like that. So you're able to have those kind of comforts nearby. And I think for a lot of people, just having that release helps them focus better at work also. It's like you have that moment, you take that time for yourself, you continue what you were doing. And or, as you mentioned, you can take the time off. But it's really different for everyone. And it also can really depend on why you're crying exactly. But I think people just don't realize that in that moment. Like, so if you're crying around someone else, they're just kind of like, whoa, this must be so distressing. Like, please. I had that once, actually. Sorry, I'm just
No, you can keep rambling. I love it.
Sweet. So I had that once, actually, where I cried in a one-on-one with my manager, and he was kind of a new manager to me. And he, I think it was the first time he had ever had someone do this. So he was so uncomfortable. And I was just frustrated. Like, I was having a conflict with a teammate, and I was trying to, like, explain the situation. And I just, I got so, like, yeah, frustrated, a little bit angry. So I cried. And he was like, whoa, okay. Huh. And I was like, no, it's fine. Like, I just need a minute. I will be okay. Like, I just did, you know, I was like, it'll be fine. And he just was like, oh, no, please, like, take the day off. No, go home, drink some wine, have a bath, like, whatever you need. Just, like, go, like, please go. And, which, I mean, I'll take the day off, sure. But it's at the same time, it felt really, like, I don't know, it didn't feel great to feel, like, ah, I'm showing these emotions, and now I must, like, leave the premises.
Ma'am, you've cried, you're gonna have to leave now.
But really, that was his kind of response, was just like, I don't know what to do. And even though I was telling him, like, all I need is a minute, still was just like, no, please go.
It's, I think it's really hard to know sometimes if you're also not a crier yourself, how to handle that response. And I'm sure that managers probably deal with this more than I think probably anyone else. I have certainly cried, I think, the most in one-on-ones when, again, like you were saying, there was a conflict with someone and I was trying to, like, deal with it, or you were getting, like, performance, like, feedback or anything like that that you, like, didn't feel so great about. And I don't think managers are given any sort of a crash course on pretty much anything, but in particular, like, what to do when someone starts to cry. How do you want people to respond to you when you cry at work?
Ooh, excellent question. And this is something, I'm glad we're talking about managers, because that's something that came up in that survey that I did last year. The survey was actually designed for both employees and managers, either who have cried themselves or who have had, yeah, so that was something that came up in that survey that I did last year, because it was designed for both managers and employees. So whether you've cried at work or you've had someone cry in front of you as a manager. And I think, at least for me, like, the things that both in, for me personally, are important and also seem to be important in this survey was, like, a big one for me is I do not want to be touched if I'm upset and crying. And I think that should be just a general workplace rule.
Yeah, don't get touched at work.
Is, Yes. Or at least if you're going to, like, if you have that kind of, like, relationship with someone, like, ask mm-hmm. first. Like, even if you do feel comfortable around someone, like, when people are having that kind of, like, physical reaction, they can feel different than if they are, you know, in day-to-day situations. So for me, that's, like, a really big one. Exactly what we just talked about before, which is, like, respecting people's, like, needs and boundaries. So if people communicate, and that's the same for me, I don't know, I'm speaking the meta. If I communicate my boundaries, then I know what I need. I know what, in that moment, what that kind of cry is for. I know what I need to do to kind of get past it and keep working or not work, whatever. So listening to what people say and genuinely respecting their answer and, you know, not being rushed to finish crying. I've also had that once where it was kind of like, okay,
are you done?
Are you done now? Like, so how long is this going to last? Like, I don't think they actually said that, but it was their face definitely said it, like, mm-hmm. Okay. And I was like, I just need a minute. So yes. And also, I think something that for me, I find really reassuring is, even though I know it in my heart, it's always really nice to hear from managers or coworkers, whoever I'm crying in front of, that, like, it's okay.
Yes.
You know, like, it's like, it's okay to be experiencing these feelings, like, you know, and also not calling someone sensitive. That's a different thing. But especially just saying, like, it's okay. And it's okay that you're feeling like this. And maybe if you have that kind of relationship with someone, maybe even sharing a time that you have felt vulnerable in the mm-hmm. past, or maybe, like, had your own experiences crying, I think can be really, especially if you're in, like, a manager report relationship, can be really valuable, because it's, like, a little bit humanizing. It's being able to kind of reinforce that. And I mean, I think a lot of people, like, want to be able to be themselves at work, whatever that means to them, like, within their boundaries. And I think knowing that having an emotional response is, like, okay, and they're not going to be penalized for it later mm-hmm. is really reassuring. I've also had that where I cried and then it came up in, like, performance reviews and I was like, cool.
I'm sorry, what? They put it in your performance review that you cried?
Well, they were just like, she has, like, very emotional responses, like, you know, some sort of, like, very diplomatic way to say it. And again, it was like, it was exactly what we were talking about earlier, where it was like, yes, I do. But I know how to manage it. I know, like, it doesn't distract from the work that I do or how I interact with my team. And at the same time, like, it doesn't show up in other people, like, other people's emotional responses, if they aren't crying, don't ever show up in performance reviews.
Right. And, well, the thing is, right, their emotional responses are probably anger or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you cry at work, especially if you are working in this field where you're not supposed to be emotional at work, because mm-hmm. computers aren't emotional, so why would you be? Which is a stupid idea. Just, like, why? Why do we think that we have to be like the thing we're working with to do it well? It's always a strange yes. concept to me. But yeah, you get this label of emotional, as if we all don't have emotions. It's a very strange thing because yes. actually everyone's having the emotions all the time, whether they realize it or not. They're probably just not in tune with their emotions. And like you said, you're actually doing what is the healthier thing, which is, you know what is going to happen with your body. You know how to process the emotion, how to handle the emotion. And it's actually the healthier way of dealing with it, is to actually feel the fucking feeling, getting it out yes. of your body, instead of what most people do, which is they just trap it inside and then pretend like it's going to evaporate. It does not evaporate, my friends. It goes into the rest of your body. It's that yes. shoulder pain that you have. Mm-hmm. It's your lower back pain. It is the feeling in your stomach that you don't like. And it will cause you to do things to your coworkers that you shouldn't do, because you are so yes. not cognizant of what you've done by trapping these things in your body.
Oh, absolutely. Like, 100%. And I mean, this isn't to say also that, I think it's worth noting that, like, yeah, not everyone is a crier. So, like, not every, you know, it's not, I don't think either of us are implying that, like, oh, if you don't cry, like, you're a robot, what a monster. No. But it's the idea of, like, if you are that kind of person who has these reactions, like, we should feel comfortable, like, having these feelings, having these moments, and doing, and, like, also I think when we're in work environments that really suppress that, where we're forced to, yeah, not talk about these things, not experience, you know, these intense feelings, whether it's related to work or just happens to be something outside of work that you find out about during work. I've also had that. So when we're in these work environments where we're forced to suppress our feelings, suppress our natural responses and do that, it also really limits people's ability to learn how to process them. Because realistically, like, most of the time, like, the first time you cry at work, it might be a little messy. Like, it might just kind of be what it is. It might just happen in the middle of a meeting. It might happen at your desk. It might, you know, whatever. If you're not prepared for and, like, know your body's responses to, like, what it means when you're about to cry, what it means to have these, like, kind of feelings and process them. But if we, like, shame people for crying, like, people never have a chance to really learn that about themselves and, like, also know their, like, needs and boundaries, like what we talked about earlier. And if you don't know those things, it's really hard to communicate to your manager, to your colleagues, like, what this moment means. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
No, that does. Okay. And, you know, I'm reliving... I told you before the call that when I was thinking about this, my initial response was, oh, no, I don't think I've ever cried at a tech job. And then I had a flood of memories of crying at tech jobs. Yes. And I was like, oh, my God. I suppressed all those memories because each time that it happened, it was a terrible experience. Maybe if I had been able to do it in a way that wasn't secretive in a bathroom, trying to hide, being ashamed of it, I could have learned how to process that in a really healthy way out in the open. And actually worked through what happens when I cry at work and why I'm doing it and how to respond to people and how they can respond to me. That sounds way more community-based and healthy than running off to the bathroom and sobbing in the bathroom until you can come back and then pretend like you weren't doing what you were doing.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, your face is all red and your eyes are red, but you're fine.
Splash some cold water. You I have, like, a face roller, like, one that you stick in the fridge. I always use that right after I cry. That's, yeah, if you're a crier, the big tip, get one of those, like, face rollers. They really help, like, depuff your face very quickly. This idea of, like, you know, it's not even just, when I, like, say crying at work, it's not even just, like, ah, I'm having these strong emotional tears that are pouring out of my face and I need to be, like, yeah, hiding in the bathroom and doing it. Or I think I even hid behind an office plant. That was a good experience. It's an open office is hard. An open office really takes a lot of work to figure out where to cry. But, or like when you're sitting on like the bean bag, you like put your knees up so your laptop covers your face, have a short little cry.
Wow, you really.
Also a good one.
You really know all the places to cry.
I really.
That bio
really
was not, anyone needs, was not a lie.
If anyone needs any advice, you could just tell me your office layout. I will figure it out for you.
I love it.
But what I was saying is that, like, also what I include when I talk about crying is also, like, those moments where you're not, like, shedding physical tears, but you feel that, like, bubbling up. You feel that, like, kind of tenseness in your chest. You feel that... You feel the tears, like, right behind, like, they feel like they're, like, pressing up against your eyeballs, and your, like, voice starts to shake. I have that sometimes, like, yeah, I think about, like, 360 performance reviews, you know, you're, like, listening to people talk about you, even if it's not super negative, I always get that, like, flustered, kind of, like, my hands start to shake, that feeling, and then, or when you're giving, I've seen it often, like, I mean, public speaking, like, even if it's just like quote unquote just within your team, it's like that feeling of being so nervous and kind of overwhelmed and like feeling like you're about to cry. Like I include that also in crying because it's essentially like the same flow of emotions. It's just one results in like water on your face and one is not. But I think many of us have felt that in a work environment, like even if we never have physically cried.
Yeah. even if you've never physically cried at work, what we're talking about here is just straight up like emotion regulation. What people don't realize is that involves all the steps leading up to the actual like peak emotion. You have a lot of clues that start to happen in your body along the way to that.
Yes.
And if you can realize that that's happening, you can prepare yourself more for the regulation process. Mm-hmm. People also don't realize that this is about practice. You know, yes. People just think, ah, yes, I've had the emotion. I will apply steps 1 through 3 and then we'll be done.
Yes.
But every situation is actually a little bit different, and you're practicing how to do these things, whether it's alone or with a group of people, and you just have to keep sort of like trying things out and seeing how it goes and trying to pay attention to your body and seeing how that mm-hmm. works out. And I want to go back to something that you said earlier, which was that you yeah. might be crying not because of work, but because of things that are happening outside of work. People seem to think that you leave your personal life at the door when you come into the office. But that's mm-hmm. not true. And it leaves no room for you to be just a fucking human that has a lot of things going on in your life.
Yes.
So I just wanted to bring that like back of like, I'm assuming that some of the times that you've cried in the office, just like me, had nothing to do with work. And they had to do with maybe either really good or really terrible situations outside of work.
No, exactly. I mean, one of the first times I cried at my current job was I recently went through a breakup, and it was like during a pairing session. And I mean, luckily it was like a mob pairing, so there was a lot of people, you know. I mean, I guess luckily when I said that. Like, but it was like, you know, it wasn't a one-on-one situation with a new colleague or anything, but it was like my mind was totally somewhere else, like that entire pairing session. So I was thinking about, where am I going to live? What am I going to do? What do I do with my paperwork? Blah, blah, blah. And that caused me to, feel, I don't remember if I like shed tears or not, but I definitely had to turn off my camera and be kind of like, okay, something's happening. I need to regulate this. And that, it happens. I mean, you can't, or like a lot of people I've had it where colleagues like who aren't typically criers maybe get really, good or bad news during work hours that aren't related. And then that's their response. And so it's also kind of a matter of figuring out, like, especially if another colleague is crying around you, like, you know, maybe like ask them like what's going on and like respect it if they don't want to talk about it, or listen in that sense, because it might be completely unrelated in ways that you would never be able to anticipate or guess.
And for myself, if someone were to ask me like, are you okay? Because crying comes with a lot of shame, and because like there's a lot of pressure not to have feelings at work, my initial response is probably something like, oh, I'm fine. And then, to be honest, I just want the person to follow up and be like, okay, well, if you want to talk, I'm here. And maybe I will actually take them up on that. Because sometimes I just think also people are like asking me if I'm okay out of like some sense of duty and not because they actually want to mm-hmm. know. They're just like, are you dying? You're not dying. Okay, then we're fine.
Yeah, then we can continue this ticket. Great.
Great. So continue on with your day then.
But it's funny because I have like kind of strong opinions about this, in the sense of like, if people ask, I would always prefer people not ask if like I'm okay, because typically like the answer, I'm also not a very good liar. So if I'm really not okay, I'm not very good at being like, like I'm very like, no. But when you say no, and even if you're like, no, but like right now I don't need any sort of support, people are like, what? No, you're not okay. Oh my gosh. Like blah, blah, blah. And then they have all these feelings, and then you have to moderate their feelings about your feelings. And that's just a process. So for me, I like when people ask, like, how are you doing? Because then it kind of leaves the door open to, like, you know, I can respond in any way that I feel comfortable with that person. And I don't feel a pressure to, like, lie in any sort of way. And yeah.
That's true. Because when you say, are you okay? That's a Let's say yes or no. It leaves mm-hmm. no real wiggle room. How are you doing? Is like all the levels that you could answer. So you can choose what your comfort level is with answering.
Exactly. And I also think in regards to people offering that like, oh, if you'd like to talk about it, like, I'm available. I also really love when, you know, colleagues, managers, because then you really know that they care about you on some sort of human level. But I would also note that, like, if you would not want to be a person who has that, like, don't offer it. Because I've also had people... Because I've had people who say that, and they're like, oh, you know, well, if you want to talk about it, you can. And then if I start to, you can just see that they're like, holy shit, I did not expect her to really start talking to me about this. So, and then it's uncomfortable for everyone. So just, you know, like, that's my feel. Those are my hot takes.
Yeah, know if you want the person to tell you or not. Just don't do it out of a sense of obligation to, like, that's what you're supposed to do. Because if they really do, exactly, like, need that support and you are not actually willing to give it, you've just created a worse situation for both of you.
Exactly. And I mean, especially also if you are in some sort of, like, leadership or even just a higher, you know, you're higher on the chain of command than this person, I think even just being aware of where a person can go if they're, like, feeling, like, usually, like, a lot of companies, once you reach a certain, like, size, capacity, whatever, they have people teams, they have HR teams that are, like, available for these sort of conversations and these things, and it's an open space for that. And I think, like, being able to even, like, strategically direct people to those resources within a company can be really useful. Or, like, if you have wellness days, like, let people know that.
Yeah. Oh.
Things like that.
I really appreciate managers and companies that encourage you, like, just take the time. You know, I had one job that was really, I've had several jobs actually that were really good with hours, but one in particular that I got some, like, family news and I didn't want to deal with it in the office. And I just told my manager, hey, I'm leaving. I'm okay, but I need to not be in the office right now. And, you know, he was like, I hope you're okay and take whatever time you need. It was great. And then I went shopping.
That's really great.
Another time that I cried in an office setting, it was again, like, not necessarily an open office plan, but we just had, like, low cubicles, so you could still totally see. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I was in, like, a prime traffic location. And ugh. I was crying. I was trying to cry very quietly at my desk with my head down, because I was, like, the
quiet.
Yeah, I was just like,
it's a thing.
Because the boss that I had at that job had actually been very rude to me. Like, he had said, I had pointed out that, like, he had pulled me from my desk to go talk about something without really, like, prepping anyone for, like, what the conversation was going to be about. And I, like, said it kind of nicely. And he said, when I pull you from your desk, you come. And I had an extreme emotional reaction to that. And I started crying at my desk. And very thankfully for me, even though I was in a high traffic area, across from me was one of the HR people who had their own office. And she came to me and she said, hey, Jen, come with me. And she took me in the office and she gave me a bottle of water and she let me cry in her office.
Oh, that's really nice.
It was so sweet. It was absolutely what I needed. Like, get me out of public view. I had nowhere else to go. Please give me water. Crying dehydrates you.
Yes.
Like, so hard.
Absolutely.
And, like, just let me have the moment, and then I was able to go back. But, oh, so sweet. Really meant a lot to me to have someone treat me that way, and I didn't feel ashamed of what I was doing, didn't feel ashamed that I was crying. So, I don't know. Maybe if you have, like, a private space that you can offer the person to, that's just really nice. We just have limited... When we go back to offices, this is going to become an issue again, so...
Absolutely. I think my... One wholesome, like, if we're going to exchange wholesome crying work stories, was I was crying in the bathroom once at my job, and it was my first development job, you know, it's hard coding, and I was crying, and I came out, and you could tell, like, when I got out of the stall, I usually wait a while, but my face gets so red and puffy, so I was trying to kind of sort things out, but I didn't have any like makeup or anything available, and one of my colleagues was doing her makeup, and so she offered to touch up, like, my concealer and my mascara, and I died. I was like, oh, this is so wholesome. Love other women. Like,
women in the bathroom.
Women in the bathroom always,
what really, what crucial. A team unit we are in the bathroom. Like, You need anything, exactly. We are there for you. You need, like, you can know no one in that bathroom, and if you come in with a problem, they will rally around you.
100%. And really, like, such a good moment. And such a hard time when then you're, like, in those single stalls, and you're just like, oof. Like, you know, the ones that are just a room. And you're like, when I leave, people will know I need some support. I've sometimes also if I have a good relationship with a colleague, like, or like a work BFF, I will, you know, send a little Slack message and be like, can you meet me in this bathroom? Do you bring me something? It's the same idea. Like when you get your period, it's like, hey, can you like meet me in here and like, give me some tools.
SOS, please help.
Exactly.
Have you heard of the crying clubs in Japan?
No, but I want to.
So they have I would consider, healthier culture around crying, which is that they consider it like a really good release for your body. So they actually have crying clubs where you go with people and you all cry watching sad things that get you into that emotional state.
I love
so
that.
There's like, you're all doing it together. You're watching tearjerker like movies and stuff, just sobbing it out together. And they just consider it like a healthy thing to do. And yes, I would like that as well. I recently asked people for like movie recommendations because I needed to cry and I couldn't get myself to. And so I needed that external force to like get me to sob.
Yes, I've been there 100%. Yeah.
The season finale of The Good Place really does it for me.
Oh, oof. Okay. I haven't seen
it. It's Eleanor and Chidi saying goodbye to each other that just like, die. I just sob.
But it makes sense. And again, I don't mean to keep being like nerdy and going back to biology, but it really makes sense that I've also talked to people about like, you know, being like, I'm just going to take the evening and cry, you know, have a good cry. And people are so like, really? You're purposely gonna like evoke these emotions? Yeah. And I'm like, yes. Because also like another fun biology fact is that like these emotional tears contain higher levels of stress hormones like ACTH and this other one that I always mispronounce, but like enkephalin. I am no biologist, so please feel free. But either way, it's like an endorphin and like a natural painkiller. Mm-hmm. So these are in your tears and they are produced by your body as a response. And so it's designed to directly calm you. Like I cannot emphasize that enough, that in a lot of cases, like this response is meant to help you. Like it's not meant to be like a negative thing. Same idea for like when you have like reflex tears, like when you're chopping onions or whatever, that's a defense mechanism for your body. Like they're protecting your eyes from whatever chemicals are coming into there.
Oh, yeah. I had not considered the crying with onions aspect of this.
Oh, I could go so deep. There's three different types of tears. We've been mostly talking about emotional tears, but yeah, there's those reflex tears that's like, you know, defensive to keep kind of bad chemicals out of your eye or damaging chemicals out of your eyes. There's also like, they're called like basal tears, where that's the tears that you produce all the time. So like right now we are both having tears produced,
just
even though
like
they're not
lubricate our eyes.
Exactly. So like they provide a thin coating around your eyes. There's like three different layers. It's very, goes deep, but it's supposed to keep dirt and like debris out of your eyes. It's supposed to keep your eyes lubricated. That's like the entire purpose of that. They don't necessarily like leave your eyelids. I am really not a biologist, but like they don't leave your eyelids, but they stay right there. Yes.
So Carolyn, what you're saying is that we're all criers.
Yes. Oh my god, I will throw two more facts at you because I think they're just so fascinating. Like if you would have asked me at the end, like, do you have anything else to add? This is what I'm
okay, well, we're at we gotta perfect. Wind down, so this is perfect. Give me the facts.
I'll give you some facts. Cool. So on average, we all produce about like 10 ounces of tears per day. Most of them are these like basal tears that stay in your eyeballs. They just don't necessarily leave. And in general, like, you know, we tend to create between 15 to 30 gallons of tears per year.
Really?
Yes. And that's why it's one of those things where it's not totally unexpected that sometimes those tears leave your eyelids. Like, sometimes they happen and they come out and it's like we are producing these tears and like, yeah, of course, sometimes they gotta be expressed.
Sometimes they gotta come out your eyeballs and it's cool.
It's totally cool.
Just your body doing your thing, man.
Exactly. And I think also just like if I had to throw out like one more thing, I really want to emphasize the idea of like learning yourself and learning your body. And like, of course, being kind to yourself and, you know, being like, it's okay that I'm having this kind of reaction to something. But also, again, taking the time to reflect, like when you do either feel like you're about to cry or you do cry in a work environment or really any environment, like taking the time to reflect and think like, what does this say about like, you know, kind of like how, why was I feeling like this? What could I do? Like, how can I communicate? Did I like the way someone else communicated to me? Like, what are my needs? And also kind of like, it can also help you if you do ever want to, the more you end up doing this, you also get better at learning how to control it. Like in situations where you don't want to cry, you kind of learn. Like for me, it's like a lot of like connecting my feet to the floor, regulating my breathing, like sitting up or standing up really straight. Those things help me. And I only know that because I have had these responses reflected on them. I mean, I've also been to a good deal of therapy.
I recommend therapy for everyone. Even if you think you don't have issues, I am
you probably
do. And two, it is just nice to pay someone to have to listen to you and just know that they have to do it. Mm-hmm. Sucks for them. I'm telling you everything. Big fan of paying people to listen to me, okay? Probably kept you over time at this point, but thank you so much for joining me and talking about this. And I'm really excited for people to understand crying in a little bit of a different light after this conversation.
Yes, I'm really glad you had me. I love talking about this. Love telling people where they can cry.
If you want to know where you can cry, like right now it's kind of an open book, but when you go back to the office and you need to know, you just message Carolyn. She will absolutely tell you like the best places. Get the little roller for your face. That was a great tip.
Yeah. Even if you're living with roommates or with a partner and you just want to have a little solo cry, you can also find spaces. There's plenty of opportunities.
I love it.
Oh, going for walks?
One of my favorite things about living in New York City is that you can cry on the street here.
I do that.
And like no one will say anything to you because it's a big city and people are just like living their own lives.
They're having a moment. Just
I love it.
It's great.
I love it. Okay. Well, again, thank you for being here. This was awesome.